This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. It was a wild and crazy wild card weekend, and we're going to talk all about it throughout the 2 hours of today's episode. I'm Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Todd DeVries. What's going on, Todd?
Not much, man. Just trying to stay warm.
The weather outside is weather.
Weather outside is what? Weather?
Yeah. You don't remember that? That's from a movie.
Well, in my neck of the woods, it's negative degrees.
I feel like I'm living in Wisconsin.
Do you think the weather wound up being a factor in that game? Packers, Niners game?
No, the Niners won.
Exactly.
Although Colin Kaepernick is from Milwaukee.
What? No.
Isn't he?
No.
Where's he from?
No, he's from Northern California.
Oh.
He's actually not far from San Francisco is where he actually
Why was he a Packer fan growing up then?
He loved Brett Favre.
Oh, interesting.
He had that picture. You saw the picture I tweeted of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Brett Favre jersey when he was like 10 years old.
Place of birth, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah, but that's not where he's from. That's not where he grew up.
That's where he's born.
Okay. All right. He's born there.
Got that cold that blood in him.
That's a good point. Blood. I just know that he grew up, you know, growing up in Northern California.
It's cold in Northern Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say that the weather, you know, everyone talked about the Saints. Oh, they can't win outside, you know. Well, they won.
Yes,
San Francisco going to frigid Lambeau. Yeah, they won.
Yes, it did.
You know, even the Chargers had to go across the country playing Cincinnati and rain and sleet or whatever it was. Yeah, they won too.
Yeah, yes, they did.
In fact, three road teams won Wild Card Weekend. Bill, does that have Patriot fans a little nervous for this week?
I don't know. That would be an interesting question. Answer to get from our Pats fans. 855-478. Oh, that's the wrong phone number. 855-728-7500. 855-728-7500 is the phone line. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We'd love to get your thoughts on that. And we'd also love to get, you know, a non-biased opinion, since there were so many Patriot fans listening to today's show. Watching the wild card games this weekend, give us your non-biased opinion. Which one was your favorite? Did you like seeing the Colts and the Chiefs? Did you like the last-second field goals with the Saints and the 49ers? Did you like the upset blowout by the Chargers? Because it's always good to get an unbiased opinion every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, we asked Kevin Collins, our producer, his unbiased opinion. We never get it.
No.
No. He'll be always biased. Kevin's always biased. Isn't that right, Kev?
Yes, he is.
He's doing something.
I think he's working the phones right now, Bill.
Oh, working the phone lines. All right.
Yeah.
855-PATS-500 is the phone line. He is a busy man. And I'm dying to know how he did getting home last week in the snow. Because remember, Todd, we were live last Thursday when the New England area, the Boston area, was getting that blanketed by that blizzard.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'd like to hear how his commute
home
was.
Well, he tweeted. We can talk about this later. But he was sending... Was it tweets or text messages? I can't remember now.
I think it had to be tweets because I got a few responses from people saying that I wasn't safe.
Yeah, he was tweeting from the roads, and we're like, shouldn't your hands be on the wheel right now, Bo?
Yeah.
You know, we'll get the scoop from him after he's done his hard work.
It's Kevin's world. We're just living in it.
Yeah.
But yes, we will recap all of the wild card games during today's show. It was really a great week of just football in general, Todd. You think about all the BCS college football games. We had the championship game on Monday night last night, and then the wild card weekend. I mean, you really can't ask for a better week of football.
It was pretty good. You know, three of the four wild card games turned out to be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I thought this, you know, the San Diego Bengals game kind of was a stinker down the stretch. Second half, it was pretty clear what was going to happen with the Bengals and our friend Mr. Dalton. But, you know, like you said, the college bowl games are exciting, especially if you like offense, because there was a lot of offense in those bowl games, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I was a little upset that Auburn didn't win, but, I mean, Florida State could,
if undefeated. Why were you upset that,
I wanted Auburn to win. I like the underdogs, Todd. I'm an underdog kind of guy.
Okay.
And Florida State was a heavy favorite, and it was a good game. And, you know, now they're they finished their undefeated season. So that's good for the Seminoles.
You know, you aren't happy to see the SEC finally lose a game?
I that's what I was banking on. What is it, 6 in a row, 7 in a row, national champions?
Yeah, 7, yep.
That's impressive, man. That is impressive.
Yeah, well, it's all done now. It's all done now, Bill. Now we can close the book on the college football season. And, man, there's only 7 NFL games to watch, man. That's it. 7.5 if you count the ridiculous Pro Bowl. Don't get me started on that.
The Pro Bowl? Let's give that a quarter. Quarter of a percentage.
Exactly. Especially this year where we're big fantasy football guys, but my God, Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders picking teams. It's like gym class. You know? Who's going to be the last player picked?
I know. Well, when are they going to reveal
this
kind of
stuff? Irrelevant? Is it when like Mr. Irrelevant?
Yeah, that would be cool.
They give him like a prize?
And by the way, we're giving you $20,000 and you get to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's some Mr. Irrelevant right there.
Why don't they just do away with the game, Bill? Enough. Enough is enough.
I don't know why they don't. Are they afraid that if they get rid of the game, they'll never be able to bring it back?
It's just this sport is not conducive to.
No, it's not an all-star game. It's too physical. Way too physical. No one wants to get hurt, rightfully so.
Yeah. I mean, half the players, the good players, are in the playoffs like a week before. You know, some of the best players are playing in the Super Bowl. They're not in the game. The game means nothing. I don't know. I don't want to get off on that tangent yet. I'm sure we will, talk about that later.
Well, Todd, we're pleased to be joined now by a great job by our producer, Kevin Collins. He alerted us earlier in the show that Bill Polian, ESPN insider, may be able to join us. And we are now joined by Mr. Polian. Thank you so much for fitting us in your tight schedule. You're on with Bill Enright and Todd DeVries. This is Football Nation Radio on Patriots.com. How you doing, Mr. Polian?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Quickly, this was probably, in terms of classic wild card weekends, I can't think of a better string of all four games. I mean, even with the Chargers and the Bengals, even though it was a blowout, it was an upset that the Chargers were a 7-point underdog. We had two games finished with game-winning field goals in the final seconds, and then, of course, that colossal collapse by the Chiefs and the Colts' monumental comeback. In your recent memory, can you think of a more better set of four games?
No, they were really very different games in many respects, and in a lot of ways, just tremendous drama. You know, as bad as the defense was in the Kansas City Indianapolis game, it provided great drama, and the other three games were, really pretty close. Right, and two went right down to the wire, so it was exciting football as the playoffs ought to be.
I just want to take you back from your days when you were with the Buffalo Bills. You were a part of that big-time comeback, the biggest comeback in NFL playoff history when the Bills came back to beat the Oilers. I heard you say on ESPN this week that some of the fans were leaving the game, and you got a phone call, and you let the fans come back in. Can you take us through that story a bit?
Yeah, well, it's actually two different vignettes. There are a bunch of fans seated right in front of where John Butler, the former Chargers GM, God rest his soul, and Bob Ferguson, who became the Denver Broncos GM, and I were seated, and by halftime they were just riled up and mad as can be, and they turned around and said, "You guys put together the worst team in the history of the world. We're leaving." And off they went. And then as we began to make the comeback in the second half, I got a phone call from security. We had a rule that once you left, you couldn't come back in again. And they said, "People are storming the gates. They want to get back in." So I said, "Well, go ahead, open the gates. Let them in. We can use all the help we get." So just as we score the last touchdown to go ahead in the game, and then, of course, most people forget that it went into overtime.
Right.
These same four guys that were seated right in front of us come running up the aisle to their seats, and they're going, "Hey, you guys are tremendous. What a team. This is phenomenal." They're high-fiving us.
Talk about the tale of two halves.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
All right, let's get a bit more current here as we're joined by Bill Polian, former Colts director of player personnel, also now the ESPN NFL insider. You're listening to Patriots.com radio. Back in the when you were with the Colts, I mean, that was the rivalry with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And now that Peyton's on the Broncos, it's kind of transitioned a little bit between the Pats and the Broncos. But, hey, the Colts and the Pats have a big matchup this weekend. Andrew Luck, second-year quarterback, certainly becoming that new sheriff in town. Do you think there's still that heated rivalry among these two fan bases?
Oh, among the fan bases, I'm sure it's there. I don't know much. I don't know whether it's that way between the players and the organizations. Right. Although I did see that the Colts picked up Deion Branch, which is something we would never have done. So I don't know whether that was for purposes of intelligence or just because they needed a receiver. I think, you know, the players still view it, those that are still there from the great heyday of Colts Patriots, they still view it as a very unique rivalry, and obviously the fans do.
Well, Bill, let's touch on that for a minute. Up here in New England, you know, the Deion Branch move has raised a lot of eyebrows with the fan base here. They're saying it's a move straight out of the Bill Belichick playbook. What do you think the reason for this is? Do you truly believe that's because the Colts need a wide receiver, or is there something more to it than that?
Oh, I don't know. It might be a little bit of gamesmanship, too, but it's possible they need a wide receiver. And maybe they say, well, you know, there's a guy out there that maybe can tell us a thing or two about the Pats, although Deion hasn't been there for quite some time, so yeah. I don't know how valid any information he had would be at this point. But it was interesting. It got our attention here at ESPN.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't believe it's going to – I think it's much ado about nothing. I think the fans here in New England have to just relax a little bit on this one. I think they're diving into something, trying to find a story here.
Yeah, I don't know that he can provide a whole heck of a lot.
Back to your days when you were the team president with the Colts, you know, you give a coach like Bill Belichick a week and a half to prepare for an incoming team. Are we expecting a blowout here for the Patriots, or are they just so banged up they put Brandon Spikes on IR? Do we think that it's going to be a close game?
Well, you know, I honestly can't tell, because the Spikes injury is the wild card. I did three Patriot games on the radio for ESPN this year, and I came away with two overriding thoughts from doing those games. Number one, week in and week out, Bill Belichick is the best coach in the National Football League at preparing his team to win that week's game. No question about it. And one of my colleagues at ESPN here said the other day, and no one's a close second, and he's right. Bill's in a class by himself that way. But now, losing Spike, he loses a guy who really was two players.
Right.
He was a very physical, intimidating linebacker, but because they either run blitzed him or gave him the green light, I don't know enough about their system to tell you which was which, he was able, when teams try to run the ball, I mean, he would just hit the guard, bowl him over, come through the A gap, come through the B gap. He's a mismatch and a blitz for any linebacker, I don't care, or any running back, excuse me. I don't care how big the guy was. And yeah, he was an intimidator. He intimidated the other team's running backs because
right.
of his power and ferocity. Now, you lose that guy. You lose Mayo, who I thought was the best 3-4 linebacker in the league. I thought better, you know, because of his athleticism, better than the guys in San Francisco. Not by much, but that's just one man's opinion. You lose those two guys, boy, I tell you what, that takes away a lot of firepower. One thing I'm sure of. I don't think T.Y. Hilton's going to have a big day. That I'm pretty sure of.
I mean, how did the Chiefs just not focus? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bill takes away what you do best.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton have great chemistry. I'll bet you he'll disrupt it some way or another.
Well, my co-host here, Mr. Polian, the other Bill, and I were arguing earlier today about, was that Chiefs-Colts game a matter of the Chiefs, you know, collapsing or the Colts just playing outstanding football in that second half? What's your take on that?
No, it was really the Chiefs' collapse. I mean,
that's right.
You know,
darn it.
If you have that kind of a lead, you have to find a way to hold it.
I agree. And you know, we're talking about T.Y. Hilton. I just don't understand what the Chiefs were doing. He's really their only viable threat. And they just let him run
wild.
Yeah,
well, Andrew has a very good chemistry with Fleener back from their college days. But, yeah, I mean, I think it was a defensive collapse on the part of the Chiefs, which is the least characteristic thing about the Chiefs because they played such wonderful defense throughout the season. But of course, they were badly, badly depleted. So you know, you're asking them to run the ball and bleed the clock with no running backs. That's part of it. Lady Luck smiled on the Colts awfully well. The fumble, I've never seen a play like that, to tell you the truth, in all my years in the National Football League. And then, of course, the depletion of the difference makers for the Chiefs played a role. And you know, the old saying, you better be lucky than good. But what intrigues me is how this game is going to be played by the coaches. The Colts would really like to run the ball. They don't like to play necessarily the way they had to play in the second half, even though right. Andrew is such a weapon. They'd like to run the ball, and they may try to, and can they have success with such a depleted front seven on the part of the Pats? At the other side of the coin, the probably the weakest part of the Colts defense is their secondary, and now they've lost another corner and Toler.
Right.
And you know, does Tom come out and put his foot on the pedal and go and try to run them out of the building with the passing game? That's interesting. It's an interesting matchup.
So, Mr. Polian, let's you know, get out your crystal ball here. Let's fast forward to about 11:30 p.m. Eastern time Saturday night. How do you think this game shakes out?
You know, I honestly can't tell you because I think that there are so many wild cards relative to the injuries. What I can tell you is I'll be glued to the television set because I want to see how the respective coordinators play it, and I want to see how Bill Belichick plays it in terms of taking away what the Colts do best. I will say this, and again, spikes is an issue here as well. There'll be a spy on Andrew. I don't think Andrew's getting away with any 40 or 50 yard runs against the Pats if Bill Belichick can help it. But I'm anxious to see how they play with that depleted defense and then what the Pats elect to do offensively, whether they elect to run the ball as they've done so well in recent weeks, and not put the onus on those young receivers, or whether or not they just say, here's the ball, Tom, go score as many points as you can. It's going to be, that's the most interesting game from an X's and O's standpoint of the weekend.
Would it be too much to ask for a Super Bowl prediction? I know we're still a couple of weeks out, but we'd love to get your opinion.
No, I don't really make predictions, and because I've learned in my 35 years in the business that at this time of year,
everything can change
in a heartbeat. So I don't make predictions.
Fair enough. Bill Polian, we certainly appreciate you joining us. You can watch him and the rest of ESPN's NFL Insiders on the NFL Insider Show every day on ESPN at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Certainly, thank you so much for your time. We value your opinion, and enjoy these playoff games. They should be awesome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Take care.
So there you go, Mr. Enright.
Good stuff,
Todd. Lots to dissect there. I just like the fact that one of our future topics for the rest of the show, to break down the Colts. You and I are going to have a big debate on.
I can't believe he sided with you on that one.
It's a Chiefs collapse.
It's a Colts comeback.
No. Hey, I'm just going to point to Mr. Polian.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
I don't have to say anything else.
You're right. How about Kevin Collins with the hustle on that one? Good job, Kev.
Thank you, guys.
That was awesome.
I mean, you really threw that together. You kind of just said on Skype before the show we might have a chance of getting them.
I've been working on it on the phone all day.
Todd's talking about the weather, and all of a sudden I see the message pop up, go, 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 now, now, now. And he was there, so that was great.
Yeah, good job.
And I'll tell you,
unfortunately,
you know,
that's how it works out most of the time. It's always last minute with those, because those guys are so busy with their TV hits.
Right.
Because he was on SportsCenter like literally all day. I was watching it here in the studio, and I'm literally like making calls waiting for him to get off air so I could get him.
Right, you want to talk about a resume here. Personnel director and general manager for the Buffalo Bills during their heyday when they went to the three Super Bowls from 1984 to 1993. And then the Colts general manager and team president from 1997 to 2011. Very impressive resume. Very impressive.
Not one to make predictions, though, Mr. Polian.
You know what? I guess when you're a man of that stature, it makes sense, Todd. You and I, we can make all the predictions we want. No one's going to hold us accountable for what we say. A guy like Bill Polian, he makes a prediction, and he's wrong about it, and
you know,
get angry.
I think it's just a mindset. Obviously, we're fans, and we like to make crazy predictions. We like to look down the road. He is so entrenched in football, even now.
Right.
I bet he just – you know what he probably really enjoys is when there is an injury, he's probably like, oh, who are the Colts going to go out and get? You know, what are they going to do? You know, who's how deep are they at that position? You know, that kind of stuff. He gets into the player personnel stuff so much. But interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
He was very, very said the Brandon Spikes injury is going to make a big time impact, and he called the Pats Colts game the most interesting game this weekend from an X's and O's standpoint. You know, you look at the Chargers and the Broncos, and that's certainly interesting just because they're in the same division. They played twice already this year. They split the game, but for the Colts and the Pats, you know, he said it, X's and O's. This is the most interesting game.
I agree with him on that from that perspective. I mean, there's a lot of ways to attack both of these defenses. And like he said, what's Tom, you know, what are the Patriots going to do offensively? Are they just going to go hurry up and just attack the weak corners of the Colts?
Yeah.
And vice versa, you know, with all the injuries the Patriots are having, you know, how are the Colts going to attack? So, like we said, let's hope the Patriots pay some attention to T.Y. Hilton, unlike the Chiefs.
Yeah, they need to do.
I totally agree. You know, Bill Polian mentioned Kobe Fleener's got that rapport with Andrew Luck from their days back in Stanford. But, hey, Kobe Fleener, T.Y. Hilton, I'm taking away T.Y. I'll let Kobe Fleener catch the 7-yard passes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, run after the catch of like 2.5 yards. I'm not going to let T.Y. Hilton go for 80 and 60 and 48.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Is the phone number. We're going to go to Carl in New Jersey. He wants to talk a little bit about the Pats and the Colts. What's up, Carl? Thanks for staying on hold for so long. Carl was staying on hold for so long, he forgot he was on hold. Carl, are you there? Hello, Carl. All right. Crazy Carl must have dropped. That's a shame. He was on hold for like 20 minutes.
Hey, you know, priorities.
Yeah, we weren't going to take Carl before Bill Polian.
No.
Sorry, Carl. Just doesn't work like that sometimes. So this is Football Nation, Wild Card Weekend Recap Edition. You know, Todd and I have been debating all day. Is it a Kansas City's epic collapse or is it a Colts comeback? Todd and Bill Polian sided with the KC epic collapse, but I'm still holding strong for some people to join the dark side over here and say that it was a Colts comeback.
Bill, it was 38-10 in the third quarter.
Yeah, and the Colts dropped mad touchdowns.
You're winning by 28 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Run the ball. You know, you can even almost go to a prevent defense when you're up 4 touchdowns in the second half. We can almost. You know, they didn't do any of that. They were throwing the ball around. They're not covering T.Y. Hilton. I mean, what the heck? Andy Reid's blowing timeouts like he used to do in Philadelphia. Collapse, baby.
Six of the last 8 possessions by the Colts were touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's a comeback. 2 of them were interceptions. 2 of those 8 were interceptions.
I'm not going to win this argument with you.
No, you're not. Listen, Bill Polian just came out and sided with you, and I'm still arguing against it. Roger Goodell could come on the line next and say, yep, it's official. The NFL is officially calling this a Kansas City Chiefs collapse, and I will still side with the Colts comeback. The NFL could come out with a press release. Official.
Let's get Kevin. How about Kevin, you know, see if he sides with you, because you need some help on this one.
I don't need any help. The facts stand behind me.
There's no facts. What facts?
They scored 6 touchdowns on their final 8 drives. That's a comeback.
Yeah, it's partially a comeback, but it's more of a collapse.
Nope. Kevin, what do you think?
Are you paying attention? I'm gonna go with the collapse.
Yes. Yes.
You're just saying that because Bill Polian said it.
No, I just thought they choked.
Yeah.
How did they choke? They scored 44 points.
They supposedly had one of the best defenses in the league. Injuries or not, they get Houston back, and you still give up 45 points.
Yep. No. They couldn't stop anything.
They were their bill of goods all year was that they were one of the best defensive teams, if not the best defensive team in the conference, in the AFC.
Yep.
I really didn't watch a lot of their games. I'll plead, you know, ignorance on that front, but to actually tune in and sit there and watch every single play and watch them get the doors blown off them. I don't know. I felt that Kansas City was a play or two away that entire second half. When you're up 4 possessions, you know, 4 touchdowns, you're literally a play or two away from ending the game at any point.
I know. We studied the play-by-play earlier today, Kevin, and there were a lot of passes in there, man. There were a lot of passes, but it was 38-17. There's no need to be thrown in around.
No, definitely.
And I'm not saying, and again, I'm not saying you sit on the ball and just run up the middle 3 times and, you know. But, man, the play calling was suspect. I know that their running backs were injured. But now Davis, he wasn't hurt till the fourth quarter.
Didn't they also... I felt like there was a period of time in the second half too where they like kept with that kind of up tempo. I was just wondering, like, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
You know, why are you going 5 wide, empty backfield, and doing this?
Well, I'll say this
because they had no healthy running backs, maybe. But
well, the fourth quarter began. It was 41-31. Then I was asking Bill this question. At what point in the game did you think that the Colts were in? Or the Chiefs were in big, big trouble, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, when it got to be 41-31, I thought it was game. I thought it was all over because it was still like the end of the third quarter. And I was like, this is just completely falling apart for them. Bill still thought that the Chiefs were going to pull
out.
I never thought the Chiefs were going to lose. That's how much of a not that I didn't think the Colts were capable of coming back. I just didn't think – I just figured, oh, well, yeah, they're making a good comeback. The Chiefs are still going to win. I was shocked.
That's what I thought too, Bill. What I thought. I mean, and take out the sample size, you know, of the whole game or even the whole second half, and you narrow it down, as Todd was doing, to just the fourth quarter. The facts are they're up by 10 points going into the fourth quarter. And, you know, if you had – told me before the game even started, having not seen a play of the game, that the Chiefs are going to be up 10 going into the fourth quarter, I'd probably say they have a pretty good chance to win. Do you not agree? You know,
I mean, totally.
So when you look at that, I couldn't help but thinking it was a choke job.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just where I come from.
But I kind of agree both ways here, because if you would have told me before the game the Chiefs could be up 10 going into the fourth, of course I would have said, well, the Chiefs have a great chance to win. But they gave up. It was 38-10 with 13 minutes left in the third quarter, and the quarter ends with a 21-3 run by the Colts. And I was like, oh my God, you know, the Chiefs are just falling apart here. They're absolutely just falling apart. And then the fourth quarter begins, and they get the Donald Brown fumble that bounces right to Andrew Luck, dives in, and then it's game over. Game over.
Yeah. And it was like,
it's just such a crazy game. Crazy.
There was one point where the Colts were making a comeback and they kind of showed Andy Reid, and he wasn't smiling, but he was definitely like smirking. Like he's like, I can't believe this is happening.
I followed the Eagles very closely for a long time.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of that from Andy Reid. He was a very good coach for the Eagles. But he has some pitfalls, and he's a very frustrating coach, and people in the national scene just don't seem to get it because he had such a nice run, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I guess the thing is this, like, if there were 10 things on a coaching checklist, he was really good at like 8 of them, and he had 2 things he just couldn't figure out. And you figured over the course of his 13 or 14 years with the Eagles, he would have started to improve on those 2 areas of deficiency. He never did. They're the same problems now that they were back in 1999. He does not understand time management, and he gets away from the running game when he doesn't need to. It's the same thing. It's very frustrating. So for now to see him do the same thing with the Chiefs that he did with the Eagles many, many, many times, you know.
Do you think a part of it becomes some kind of ego thing where he's like, you know, one of these days it's going to work in my favor and I'm going to do it my way?
I don't know. There was always a prevailing thought in Philadelphia that he did try to get a little too cute and try to outthink opposing teams when he didn't really need to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Kevin was just saying, you know, they went five wide with no running backs a few times when they're up 21 points and not on third down, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, you don't really need to do that here. You know, a four-yard runoff tackle would work pretty nicely, you know, chomp 45 seconds off the clock here. He just doesn't think that way, man. So, but hey, the Chiefs are done. The Colts move on. Do you think, Bill, that the Colts are, well, I guess you do, because you thought they had this great comeback. You must think the Colts are pretty dangerous now, suddenly, going into Foxborough.
No, I don't think, those two are connected in any way. I just think it was a Colts comeback, but their chances for the, against the Patriots, I mean, that's, I don't think they're connected. I think it should be a good game. The Brandon Spikes injury, that's a big deal. The Deion Branch signing, to me, not a big deal at all. And we've seen the Patriots do those type of moves in the past where I think, what was it, Josh McDaniels was hired for a week when they were playing the Broncos. Remember that a couple years ago in the playoffs when Tim Tebow was the quarterback?
Yeah, vaguely.
Josh McDaniels was fired as the Rams coach, and then he signed on as the – right? Is that correct, Kevin?
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Something about McDaniels. Sorry, McDaniels. I was just on the phone.
What? Where was McDaniels before he came to the Pats the second time around? Wasn't he with the Rams?
Yeah, I believe so.
But the year before that, he was with the Broncos.
He was with the Broncos for 2 years, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, two full seasons, I believe.
Yeah.
Man, my phone will not stop ringing. I'm sorry. That was it in the background again when I was talking.
Yeah, he was hot. He was the Broncos head coach when he drafted Tebow, and then he was fired as the Rams offensive coordinator. And then a week after he got fired, the Pats hired him.
In season. Yeah.
In season, right.
Yeah, as they were going into the playoffs.
As they were going against the Broncos.
Yeah, as my memory serves me.
That's
yeah.
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's – listen. Do I think Deion Branch is really going to make that much of a difference if he's telling the Colts defense or the coach defensive coaches what the Pats have game planned? Absolutely not. When is the last time Branch played for the Pats? Did he play for him last year?
I think it was 10 games last year.
Last year.
And he only had, like, I think 16 catches. The last catch he had in an NFL game was the AFC Championship last year when the Patriots lost to the Ravens.
Yeah.
He had, like, two catches for 16 yards in that game.
Right. I don't think it's that big of a deal at all. I'd love to get some Pats fans' opinion on Deion Branch signing with the Colts. I don't think it should be made a big deal about, but if people want to talk about it, I'll certainly debate it. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's go back to Carl in New Jersey. Carl, are you there this time?
Yeah, I'm there. Hey, guys, I apologize. I'm at work, and my boss walked right in.
Oh, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't want to be out of a job.
No, anyway. Definitely not. Especially with Todd making crazy predictions.
I know, I get depressed. I can't, you know, I don't need the negative energy. But anyway, I was going to say the game is on Saturday.
Yeah.
The craziest to me was the Chiefs losing, and then the most impressive was the luck coming back like that. It was like I had two different emotions in the same game. And I thought that game was the most fun.
I'm agreeing with you. It was fun to see the two last-second field goals with the Saints and the 49ers. I enjoyed seeing the Chargers win because I pulled off the upset on that pick. But to me, the most entertaining game by far, Colts and Chiefs.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say, too, is that I hope Brady, I said this last year, that, I mean, Brady is like, I hope he's over stats and all this kind of thing. It kind of seems like he's like that. Not late, like later rather than early in his career, like he doesn't really care about numbers and stuff. Mm-hmm. I hope he just goes and just runs the score up. Because I don't think if we were in a situation as the Chiefs, say, for example, up by 20-something in the third quarter, we would have lost the game. Not in the playoff game. Because I think Belichick is too smart. So I said that, but I'm saying that against the fact that Bill Belichick calls the shots. Like, I don't know if he would let Tom just go at it and, you know, just do whatever he wants to do, just, like, run up the score and just not care about, you know what I mean?
Like, I'm sure the only number that matters to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick this weekend is a W. Get one step closer to the Super Bowl. That's all that matters. They don't care if the score is 6-3.
Yeah, that's why I feel like I'm like 70-30% that we're going to pull this one out.
Okay, 70-30. What do you think about Deion Branch signing with the Colts?
I don't even care. We got the dynamic duo. We got Brady and Belichick, BB.
That's it. All right. Carl, appreciate the phone call. Best have some fun this weekend watching the games.
All right, have a great day, man.
Yeah, beware of the boss walking into the office. Did you imagine? I can just picture Carl. I've never met Carl in my life, but I can just picture a guy in his office with the phone to his ear.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kevin saying, oh, you'll be up and, you know, they're going to take you in a second. And then boss walks in, phone slams down. Oh, just hanging out. Nothing going on here. Just making a sales call.
Yeah, boss, hold on 1 second. Bill, by the way, yes, I do think the Pats are going to win 70-30% sure on that one. All right, boss, what was that you needed again? Classic. That would have been great. I would have loved it. I would have loved it if he did it live. Told the boss to hang on for a second. Hang on, boss, I'm on Patriots.com Brady. I'll be with you in a second. That would have been great.
We'll do it live. Do it live! We'll
do it live, Bill O'Reilly. That's right. Bill O'Reilly, flip it out on that clip. Right, Kev? That's Bill O'Reilly?
That is, sir.
Yeah, he was.
That is Mr. Enright, sir.
That's right. That's right.
We'll do it live. Do it live! I can. I'll write it and we'll do it live! Right. Thing sucks!
I forgot about that.
He was talking. He was doing. He was mad about. They were wanted to play music, like coming out of commercial or something. And he didn't understand the music, or it was Sting or the Police or something. He didn't understand the clip, and he kept trying to do it during the commercial, and he kept screwing up. And finally, he got mad at the producer, but it was totally his fault. Like, he kept messing up the script. And he's like, fine, I'll do it live.
Have you heard the Berman one of those?
Yes.
That one is classic.
Like no one's ever worked on TV before, right?
Here we go.
TV, and I got 18. God damn it! Can't everybody stop for 10 minutes? I mean, everybody seems.
You might swear.
Everybody, can we stick?
I might
Jesus
get in trouble.
Christ! I mean, it's not that much to ask. Is that when everybody has to move when I'm trying to concentrate? Jesus!
And you guys thought I was a pain.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, it's so rude. I can't believe it. It's so goddamn rude.
That's pretty great.
I changed my opinion a little bit about Chris Berman after seeing that.
Well,
no one else?
Well, there's a lot of
ESPN. That was in 2000, just so you know.
Yeah. I think what changed my opinion is all the books on ESPN that came out shortly around that time frame.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on there that, you know, a lot of it's rumors, but it started to open your eyes a little bit.
A little bit inside the mothership, as Dan Patrick calls it.
Yeah.
Mothership. Yeah, but that did change my... I mean, Bill O'Reilly, my opinion about him was always like that. But Chris Berman, I mean, he's like Santa Claus of the NFL.
Yeah, I guess he could be real SOB.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's go to Brian in Brighton. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing?
You enjoying this playoffs? Wild card action was awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. And the championship game last night was amazing, too.
Fantastic. Don't get Bill started on that.
I'm so upset.
sorry to bring up a sore topic.
I don't know what's upset more, my balance and my account or just my heart?
I had no horse in the race, so I just liked the game.
It was a fantastic game. Absolutely fantastic game. I'm not going to take anything away from that. I'm just upset by the outcome.
Well, you and a lot of people.
Yep.
A couple topics I wanted to bring up with you guys, if I may.
Go ahead.
The bungle. What did you think about that game? Because there were a couple things that really caught my eye in the game when Giovanni Bernard fumbled the ball.
Game changer. Absolute momentum swing.
Yes. But what I noticed was One of his teammates punched him in his back shoulder.
I don't know if it was a punch. I think it was more of a nudge, like, come on, Rook, we're okay. Don't get your head down. I noticed that too, and I didn't take it that way. I didn't interpret it that way.
Okay, well, what about the touchdown pass where it was like the safety was coming? Like, they got the touch, San Diego got a touchdown, and it looked like the, like, safety or one of the guys started, like, yelling at the corner for screwing it up.
Well, that happens a lot. I mean, that happened last night in the Florida State game, too, with Auburn. You know, sometimes when you're calling coverages and your teammate's not paying attention, you got to yell at them, especially when the result's a touchdown.
Okay, because to me those were just two things. I don't know. I thought it was a punch, and I just thought it was like the team going against each other.
Todd, like, did you see that when Gio fumbled his offensive lineman? Definitely shoved him, but I think it was more of like an encouragement kind of thing.
Yeah, Gio looked pretty upset. I think he was trying to. I think I'm with Bill on that one. I think he was just trying to pump him up a little bit.
And you have to remember, you have a big 350-pound lineman shoving or pushing a smaller running back. It's going to look like a little bit more violent than it really is, just because of the size difference and the force of the old lineman.
Well, okay, fine. But to me, there's really no argument though that the team basically just melted down.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, you have
big one on the field.
You have three turnovers by Andy Dolan. You have one turnover by the rookie running back Gio, which you brought up. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later. Andy Dolan, three straight playoff appearances, which is great in his first 3 years in the NFL, but three straight one and duns. And we'll get into that debate a little bit later, I think.
I look more at Marvin Lewis, too. I mean, to me.
That's another one. Five playoff appearances, five one and duns.
Yeah. Now, the other topic that was really blowing up on Twitter, I'm a big defensive fan. I love defense. I do hate the ticky-tack calls that take it 40 yards down the field on pass interference. What's your opinion, though? Like, I like the way the games were called, but I don't like that all of a sudden they're getting called that way in the playoffs. And I'm just curious what your opinions are on that. And I'll just listen for that.
I'm sorry. Our opinion on what?
So the fact that there were, like, no pass interference calls, like maybe one all weekend or something.
Yeah.
Very few holding calls. And I just thought that a lot of people were talking about, like, how great it is to see the defense be able to play the game. And I agree, but I just don't like that all of a sudden it's happening during the playoffs.
Yeah. I know what he's talking about, Bill. I mean, it's a good
point. Lack of calls. The lack of flags.
The lack of calls, I agree it's a good thing. I like it personally, but I don't like it during the playoffs all of a sudden.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. It's kind of like, in the NHL or the end of an NBA game. The refs kind of swallow the whistle at the end.
Right.
What he's saying is, on a season level, the refs decided, or the guy got together, or Goodell had a conference call with them or something, and they said, okay, let's let them play a little bit in the playoffs.
Right.
I guess that's what he's inferring. I mean, I don't know. Were there any pass interference calls, Bill, that you saw that, it was just a bad call? Had to call it, didn't call it.
Was there one in the Saints-Eagles game toward the end of the game and near the red zone?
For which team?
I think they called it on the Eagles.
I don't remember anything, like, egregious.
No?
No.
I
think, like, the caller was just saying, it seemed like just consistently over the four games, there was a little more, bumping going on, a little more hand checking, a little more stuff with the balls in the air than normal. And I thought for the most part, they were consistently all right with it, for the most part.
Yeah. To tell you the truth, I really didn't give it a thought until now. So I guess that means that it didn't blow me away this weekend that there were any lack of calls. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be pretty fired up. But yeah. Great call from Brian. We appreciate it. Good topics there.
Lots of energy.
He's fired up about the Bengals. Why are the teammates pushing Gio? He wants to know. Give Brian the answer. Was it a push or was it just a little push of encouragement? I think it was a little bit of encouragement. Encouragement.
Let me get your thought on this. I mean, I don't want to sound like a Gio apologist, because everyone that's listened to the show all year knows that we love the guy. Like, we think he's going to be great. And we kind of one of the first. We were early on Gio. We were early.
Yes, we
on
were.
Him.
Thanks.
Going back to last year before yep. he was even drafted.
Yep.
I thought that was just a got a hold on to the ball there, rookie. But man, that's a tough play. I think that you could put the majority of running backs in the league in that spot. Billy caught the ball and was kind of spinning towards the end zone, you know, and he did have possession. I don't disagree with the call that he had possession of the ball, but man, it was just like he just didn't have time to like tuck it away yet, you know, when the defender made a great play to knock it out. That's kind of a tough one, man.
Yeah, I can't put it too much on Gio. I do think you're right. It was a really good defensive play.
I think so.
He was
yeah.
open. He was going to score.
He probably was.
Yeah.
He probably was.
And he had a good day, Todd. He had 7 catches, 74 yards for a running back. That's huge.
Yeah.
45 yards on the ground.
Hey,
so it wasn't like he wasn't productive.
I told you, he's going to be the next Brian Westbrook in this league.
Yeah. Yep.
He's going to have a lot of days, and again, we like to look at it fantasy-wise, but he's going to be a PPR monster. He's going to have 100-yard receiving games, and you know he might only rush 30, 40 yards. He'll have other games where he rushes for 90, 100 yards.
Yep.
He's just one of those players. I thought it was a tough spot. No doubt about it, it was the game changer, and it's a shame because it wasn't, in my view, it wasn't like some terrible fumble. It got a hold onto the ball. It was, man, it was just like bang-bang type play. He was trying to score. And just the defender. Give all the props to the defender on that. Great play.
The Chargers-Bengals game, I guess we can break down this one first. It was 27-10. Andy Dalton, 3 turnovers. What do you think, Todd? You think Dalton has
deer in headlights.
Or is he like a Tony Romo where big situations, he just chokes?
He's a deer in headlights, man. I mean, there's a lot more to analyzing a game than looking at the quarterbacks and their demeanor in a game.
Yeah.
But my God, it seemed to me in this particular game, it told the whole story. You look on one sideline, you see Philip Rivers all fired up and just kind of willing his team to win. And you look over in the orange and black, you know, tiger stripes, and you see Andy Dalton just daring headlights.
Yeah.
He just doesn't exude confidence at all. And that team is loaded.
That's the problem I have. They're super talented. I think
they really are.
I think if Brady had any one of these playmakers on his team, the Pats would.
Or
even like a Drew Brees had an AJ Green. I mean, unstoppable on offense.
Bill, just go down. Just again, we'll just look at that. First of all, I think we can both agree they have a solid defense, opportunistic solid defense, right?
Absolutely.
One of the better defenses in the league, top
sure.
10 to 12.
Yes.
Okay. Offensively, they got a top 3 wide receiver.
And AJ Green, sure.
Who you could argue that he's not a top 3 receiver because he only had, what, 3 catches in this game?
Yep.
But
nine,
you got AJ Green.
9 targets, I think.
You got a number of young guys that are really intriguing. Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones. You got a couple tight ends that can play. Jermaine Gresham. You got Tyler Eifert, the rookie. You got a 1-2 punch at running back. The workman like, you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. And then you got this rising star in Giovanni Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 10 points at home. Come on.
And this is a team where we've seen them score 40 points. We know they're capable of doing that. It's not like this season they were struggling on offense. You know, we've seen Andy Dalton have a 4-touchdown game, a couple 400-yard games. So that's what's interesting to me.
Yeah, I don't know what to if I'm a Bengals fan, I'd be really confused right now because what do you do, Bill? Do you start over with the coaching staff, or do you keep the coaching staff and decide that Andy Dalton's not the guy? I mean, what do you do?
That's a good question, because here's Marvin Lewis's playoff record with Cincinnati. 5 losses in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, do you fire a coach that got you into the playoffs 5 times but hasn't won a game? Are you satisfied with making it into the postseason? And if you get hot, you get hot and you make it, you advance? Or, you know... he's successful in that only 6 teams in the AFC. How many teams are in the AFC, Todd? 16? 16.
Yeah.
So 6 out of the 16. They're successful in that they make it to the postseason. They're one of those 6. But they don't advance. They're done in the first round. Is that good enough?
No.
You don't think so?
You know, you got to get to the next level, man. You know, kind of like we alluded to it earlier with Andy Reid. When he was at the Eagles, he was able to take it to a really solid level. All those NFC title games, he got to one Super Bowl, but he wasn't able to get it past that, you know? He wasn't able to adapt and make just a couple new, you know, add a couple, put in a few more bolts in his holster, you know what I mean? He wasn't able to do it. He was tapped out. And the level that he tapped out at with the Eagles was a great level. And maybe on a lesser extent, you've got the same thing going on here in Cincinnati. Maybe this is what they are as they're currently constructed with this coaching staff and this quarterback. This is the best they can do.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you got to change it up, man, and risk it a little bit that you might take a step backwards in order to take two steps forwards, you know?
Here's what we do know. The GM, whoever that is, I don't even know who the GM of the Bengals is, he's doing a fantastic job. You know, he's hit on A.J. Green. He's hit on guys like Maya Luga and the rest of their Vontaze Perfect, who wasn't even drafted, and Gio, and Andy Dolan. Even Andy Dolan, I mean, he's still got them two, three straight winning season where they made the playoffs, and that was a second-round pick for them. So the GM is doing a great job. We know that. The team's loaded with talent, very deep, and they're young.
Here's the thing, Bill.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are nearing the end. All right?
Yeah.
In a couple of years, the AFC's going to be there for the taking, man. And this Bengals team is very young. You know, you better get – now's the time to tinker. If you got to tinker with whatever you're going to tinker with, do it now. You know what I mean? Like I said, if you got to take a step backwards next year to take two steps forward in, you know, 2015 – mm-hmm. Do it, because once Peyton and Tom are gone, that AFC is wide open. Hmm.
That's why we like the Bengals and the Colts and a couple of these other teams in terms of fantasy, because we know they're the next great offense.
I mean, who on that Bengals team that we just talked about is old, other than Ben Jarvis Greenhouse, who they can easily replace?
Nobody.
Not on offense. They're all young.
Not their skill guys, no.
Yeah, so... Yeah, you know, frustrating for Bengals fans. But the Bengals are out, Bill. Enough about
Gone.
The Bengals.
See you later.
Gone. Now you got, you got the Chargers. Your San Diego Superchargers. You didn't even sing the song yet.
San Diego Superchargers. I'll do it right now. San Diego. Woo! Oh, here we go, baby. Here we go. Diego Superchargers. San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Superchargers, San Diego Chargers. Oh yeah, bring it down. Ooh, all right.
Felt good, huh?
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Don't f*** yourself, San Diego.
Stay classy, San Diego. Keep on winning. Keep on winning.
We'll break down that game on Thursday. The Chargers Broncos, because I tell you what, the pressure is mounting. At least among the media members, on Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it certainly
is. Mounting, Bill.
And we'll have that full discussion on Thursday, as you said, 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time here on Patriots.com Radio. We are going to recap the rest of the wild card weekends, but we got to take wild card games. We got to take a quick break, though. So more Football Nation coming up next, right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation, Patriots.com radio. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, produced by Kevin Collins. Excellent first hour of the show. Very big surprise with Bill Polian, ESPN NFL insider and former team president of the Indianapolis Colts. That was a lot of fun. And we have the pretty much wild card weekend. We still got to recap all the games. We did the Bengals and the Chargers.
Yeah, we pretty much did the Chiefs, Colts. Don't you think?
A little bit. Yeah, I guess you're right.
We agreed. The NFL experts and I agreed that it was a Chiefs collapse more so than a great Colts comeback.
Yeah.
I just tweeted that out, by the way. I just tweeted out that you were wrong and I was right. You can follow me at CFF Geek. Follow Bill at Bill Enright. Just so my followers know the truth.
Just had former Colts GM Bill Polian on Patriots.com radio. He agrees with me. He agrees that it was a Chiefs collapse more than a great Colts comeback.
Yeah,
you're lying to all those followers you have.
Nope.
He does agree with you, but it doesn't mean it's right.
Sure it does.
I should have asked, who was that guy on the line his boss was in the room when he called? I should have asked him. Should have asked him to put his boss on, see what he thought, too.
All right, so where are we going, man? NFC?
Yeah, let's go to the NFC games.
Well, which game did you think was better? Which NFC game was better? We'll start there.
Packers and Niners.
Packers and Niners. Let's start with that one. Frigid Lambeau Field, Bill.
Freezing cold. 5 degrees at kickoff, probably negative 15 or something like that or around with the wind chill.
Didn't seem to bother Colin Kaepernick, who did not wear sleeves.
It never bothers Colin Kaepernick when he's playing against the Eagles. All right, Eagles. I'm watching its commercial with T.O. on it. It never bothers Colin Kaepernick when he's playing against the Packers.
No, 3-0 in his young career. I mean, the guy's only been playing for, a year and a half?
It's not like he's been in the league for 10 years and he's playing against all these different teams.
No, and he had three ridiculously high-profile games against the Packers, won them all.
Yeah.
And performed extremely well in all three.
Aaron Rodgers who? Discount double check.
Well, this weekend, Colin Kaepernick, Bill.
Yeah.
227 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. Nothing crazy. But he made the right throws at the right time. But it was his rushing ability that really seemed to just – those are the backbreakers, Bill. When it's 3rd and 8 and everyone's covered and he just squirts out and goes for 12 yards.
Yeah. You know?
7 rushes, 98 yards, 14 yards per carry. That is a killer. And he did the same thing last year in the playoffs. More so. I believe he had 181 rushing yards last year against the Packers.
That's correct.
To go along with 260 passing yards. And then to open the season this year, another high-profile game against the Packers, what did he do? Over 400 yards passing.
Yeah.
So he's definitely got their number. You know, I thought the 49ers looked strong in this game for the most part, Bill.
I did too, Todd. And, yes, Colin Kaepernick has their number. The Packers don't have an answer for it. They don't have an answer for his rushing ability or for what he can do with Michael Crabtree in the passing game. You look at Crabtree's stats, 8 catches for, what did he have, 125 yards?
Yeah.
I mean, this 49ers team is certainly much more intimidating when Colin Kaepernick is able to successfully pass the football and rush the football the way he did against Green Bay. And the reason why he's able to have success in the passing game is the addition of a healthy Michael Crabtree. I can't stress that enough. They were going through this season with Anquan Boldin as their number one wide receiver. Now Bolden's their number two. Vernon Davis still a big-time threat. And then Michael Crabtree's the number one. And it really showed that not only is he Kaepernick's most trusted target, but the guy's a playmaker. You don't get 8 catches for 125 yards by accident.
No. And let's talk about the defense, Bill. The first quarter, the score was only 6-0 because the Niners drove it down inside the 10 twice and came out with 2 field goals.
Right.
But the Packers, first possession, 3-and-out. Second possession, 3-and-out. Third possession, 3-and-out. They had like 2 yards total in the first quarter?
And you have to look at the quarterback here. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, for him to have 177 yards and a touchdown, to me, is the reason why they lost. He is a league MVP. He is a Super Bowl winner. He is the reason why they were able to beat the Bears in Week 17 and make the playoffs. And for him to have the performance like he did, you know, the Niners defense, you got to give him credit. They shut down the Packers offense, and that's why they won the game. They held the Packers to 20 points. You don't expect the Niners to score over 30 points in a game. They beat them 23-20. It was a close game, but it was pretty much a Niners controlled game.
Kinda. But you know, let's not forget that when John Kuhn rumbled in from the 1 yard line, with 12 minutes left in the game, it was 17-13 Pack.
Was that their only lead of the game?
Yes.
Or did they have it 7-6?
That was the only lead. They led the. Oh, no, they had it 7-6.
Yeah, 7-6.
You're right. There's 2 field goals by the Niners, 6-0.
Right.
Jordy Nelson's touchdown, 7-6 Packers.
Right.
And then, you know, 17-13, and then it was 20-20 with Mason Crosby's field goal with 5 minutes left. And then the Niners just bled the clock, had a game-winning drive.
All right, let me ask you this. When did John Kuhn score that touchdown?
12 minutes left in the game.
And it was 17-13?
Yes.
What did the Packers do after that? Because that's a lot of time left.
What did they do?
Yeah, what did they do on offense?
All right, let's take a look at it. I don't have that up. Here we go. All right, they scored the touchdown.
Right.
Well, the Niners get the ball and drive right down the field and score in about a minute and a half.
Right.
Okay. So now there's 10:31 left. The Packers get the ball, and they have a long five and a half minute drive that gets down to the inside the 10, and they have to settle for the field goal.
Right.
And then the Niners get the ball back and end the game.
So they had a field goal. That's what they did with.
They only had one possession, and they had a field goal.
Right. Is that good enough from an MVP quarterback?
Well, you've got to get in the end zone.
Got to get in the end zone there. You're at home.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they had first and goal at the 9, Bill, with 6 minutes left.
Right, and that was that play to Randall Cobb.
Yes.
When Rodgers, listen, I understand that you look at the replay, it was a big hold. Great play by Rodgers there to escape the 49ers pressure, to make a play downfield, get it to Randall Cobb.
And let's be honest, when he made that escape and Randall Cobb made the catch, you were thinking they were going to win.
Yes.
Or they're going to score. Should they score?
But that was the first time in the game where I didn't think, where I thought the Packers could win. That was the first time.
Right.
And then they ran 1 yard run to Randall Cobb for a yard.
Terrible play call.
Awful. Incomplete to Rodgers. Incomplete. I don't know who the target was. And then Rodgers rush up the middle for 2 yards.
Happy.
That was their drive inside the 10 yard line with the game on the line. That was not their drive. That was their string of plays there.
Right. Well,
and then the Niners come down the field and they match their field goal, except that one took the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, one thing that drives me insane is when a team gets to first and goal and they try a trick play. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Well.
Because it never works. You know? Chip Kelly did this, was it against Dallas like a week or two ago? They had a first and goal, and they try some, like, you know, reverse or something. You know, you've driven all the way down the field. You punch it in. You know?
Yeah. I'm surprised. Yeah.
An end around to Randall Cobb, that's a bad play call.
No, it wasn't like an end around. He motioned from the wide receiver spot into the backfield.
You know what I mean? It's an unconventional play.
Which is probably even worse, Todd, because Eddie Lacy, it's not even like.
Yeah.
It's not
you're
going like to
run it with your
right,
guy.
Right, exactly.
That's what I mean. Just don't break tendency and do something cute, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, hey, you know, it was the fourth quarter. You know, there were four possessions, and they all ended in scoring drives for both teams. So, you know, I thought it was an entertaining fourth quarter, you know?
Certainly was. I enjoyed all the games this weekend, and this one was certainly if all the other games stunk and this was the only game, this would have been a great game. Right. That Colts Chiefs game, you know, it's stealing everyone's stealing everyone's thunder.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that last drive for the Niners. Then we'll move on to the next game. They had, I think it's worth noting that on that final drive, Bill, they had 3 third downs that they converted. 3rd and 10 from their own 31.
Yep.
Kaepernick passes to Crabtree for 17.
Big play.
The bigger one to me was the 3rd and 8 from the Green Bay 38.
And there was pressure on that play.
Yeah, he goes for 11 yards. That's just a killer, man.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, now the defense was actually, they did their job in two ways. Everyone was covered, and they got pressure, and he got away. He got outside, and that was it.
Even the 3rd and 3 to Frank Gore up the middle, 3 yards, picked up the first down.
Yeah, yeah, and that ended the, you know, that pretty much ended the game for sure. Yeah. Otherwise, they probably would have had. No, it wouldn't have mattered, honestly, Bill. They might have had 10 seconds or so.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if they didn't get the first down, I think that they would have probably had to kick the field goal with 10 or 15 seconds left instead of no time.
And again, no answer for Colin Kaepernick or Michael Crabtree by the Green Bay defense. Two times on 3rd and down with the game on the line, Packers defense couldn't stop them. Twice it happened in the same drive. 3rd and 10 and 3rd and 8. Inexcusable.
Yeah. Worth noting, Bill, that Frank Gore continues to you know, I don't want to gloss over what he does. 20 rushes, okay? Only 66 yards and a touchdown. But, Bill, that's just keeping a balanced offense, which is how the Niners have to be.
Bringing this into fantasy here for a second, you know, we tend to stay away from running backs that are over 30 years old, Todd.
Yeah.
Frank Gore has found the fountain of youth. He is the major exception to that rule. 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns.
He's the man. You know, he didn't have, you know, some crazy amazing game, but he keeps moving the chains. He's good for 4 yards. You can't overlook Frank Gore in this situation.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, Vernon Davis makes huge plays. Crabtree's coming on strong. Kaepernick's really fun to watch. Frank Gore is the glue, man. He keeps it all together.
Are you rooting for a 49ers Seahawks matchup in the NFC Championship? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, the problem is, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last two times San Fran with Kaepernick went up to Seattle, they got absolutely manhandled.
They did.
Yeah.
Well, I still want to see that matchup.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Panthers.
I don't want to see the Panthers, and I certainly don't want to see the Saints.
Why?
Listen, when we made our predictions last week, by the way, we should bring those up because I think we did pretty well. When I made the prediction last week, I said the Eagles, I had the most confidence in the Eagles beating the Saints, and the Saints made me look like a fool. This weekend, I'm going to say it again. I had the most confidence in the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know. I don't like the Saints.
Let's get to. Do you want to get to the Saints?
Or you know why, Todd? I think it's because you've turned me off to Drew Brees.
Yes. Finally, after how many years we've been doing radio, you finally are seeing the light with the fraud.
Yeah.
And I say that halfway tongue in cheek. I mean, I just think he
good ambassador, but
he likes the records a little too much. That's right. All. He's great off the field and all that. Totally good guy. But when you set a record for
most completions on a third down in one game.
Yeah. You don't need to run off the field at the ticker tape parade. Okay? Yeah.
You don't need the game ball for that one.
And while we're talking about Drew Brees, if everyone out there was following, Peyton Manning broke Drew Brees' passing yards in a season record. But then it was all under question because of a potential backwards pass. See that?
Right, right.
And the NFL took like 2 or 3 days to figure it out. I don't know why it took that long.
Yeah.
And so for a while, it looked like Brees was going to get his record back. And you know, Bill, he was sitting there waiting and texting his agent. What are they doing?
Make it happen. That's a backwards pass. You can't tell. Anyone can tell.
It's like the Zapruder film. Analyzing that.
What is that?
Zapruder film? That's the film of JFK, the assassination.
Oh, okay.
You know how that's been analyzed over and over again. That's what he was
analyzing. That's funny. That's funny.
So anyway, Drewy boy lost his record. And
He did.
So I'll have to create a new record. But
sorry, Drew.
I think that it would be interesting. I think the most entertaining game, honestly, would be Niners and Saints. I think that would be a fun game to watch.
Really?
I think the Niners in Seattle, I think that would be a bloodbath, a low-scoring bloodbath.
That's all right. Sometimes those are good. It's not fantasy football season anymore, so now I like those kind of games in the playoffs.
But you just went crazy about the 45-44 insane game.
I love those more. But I do like the defensive battles every once in a while in the playoffs. I think they're fun.
Okay. All right.
I like all playoff games. It could be a blowout. It could be a low-scoring game. It could be a high-scoring game. I love all playoff action. There's no, you know why? Because I have no vested interest. Unless my team's in it, then I care. But no fantasy implications, and I'm not really rooting for anybody. So I get to become a fan of football during the playoffs. And to me, that's refreshing.
If you're a fan of football,
refreshing.
I know you'll disagree with this one, and I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Okay.
You could easily make the argument that the two NFC games this weekend that were just played, Niners-Packers, 23-20, Saints-Eagles, 26-24, were much cleaner games and better played football games than that crazy-ass game.
Of course.
Chiefs-Colts and that clunker in the AFC, the
of course.
Bengals game.
Absolutely. I'm not going to argue. Why would I argue with that one?
Because you make crazy points all the time. 45-44, greatest game ever. There's a million mistakes in that game.
Oh, it was awesome. No, but I agree with you. Both the Saints and the Niners it was like a tennis match. Back and forth, close game throughout, and the team with the ball last ended up winning.
Yeah. I thought that it was interesting in both those games that the fourth quarters, the second halves were pretty compelling.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into that the Saints-Eagles game next?
Yeah, let's jump into that one.
All right. Yeah, weird game. Let's talk about it from the perspective of the fan, right? You're coming off of watching the most incredible wild card game in many years.
Yep.
And you're all amped up. Your heart's pumping. 45-44.
Adrenaline's going, sure.
And, like, right when that's over, you click right over. Or, actually, you don't click right over. It's the same channel, NBC. And, boom, there's another game kicking off. And you're like, oh, my God, I got a whole nother one of these to deal with.
Yeah.
And then the first half is a total sparring match, 7-6. And all the scoring, it was in the second quarter. It was 0-0 at the end of one.
A lot of punts, a couple of field goals, and an interception or two.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think of that? Because, you know, you're coming off the crazy game, and then all of a sudden it's just punting and running and kind of boring.
It was kind of boring. It would have been boring even without the Chiefs and the Colts game, but at least, you know, you wouldn't have had that drastic come down from being, you know, that adrenaline rush with the Colts and the Chiefs. If it was just, let's say the Eagles and the Saints was the first game of the day and you just start out the playoffs that way, you know, you're a little bit anxious for the action to start coming, but not as much as coming down from that Chiefs Colts.
Right. You know, there really wasn't much of a really. It started to pick up that particular game late in the second half, in the first half, when the Eagles went down, scored a touchdown, make it 7-3. Saints come right back, kick a field goal before the half, and then you're like, all right, 7-6. The offenses are warmed up, but then it's halftime.
Right.
I thought the Eagles did not capitalize. They got two interceptions on Drew Brees in the first half and had nothing to show for it.
Yeah, that was. You have to capitalize off mistakes, and the Chiefs did that with Andrew Luck, and they still lost. And if you don't capitalize off mistakes like the Eagles didn't, then you know you're putting yourself even in a worse position.
Yeah, you have to have more than 7 points at the half when that's the situation, because you knew the Saints were going to play better in the second half.
Absolutely.
So I thought it was interesting that both teams' defensive game plans were to take away the biggest weapons on offense, right?
Yep.
The Saints decided, we're not going to let LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson beat us, and they didn't. And it took the Eagles a long time to adjust to that, and eventually they got things rolling by spreading it around a little bit. Opposite side of the ball, Bill, the Eagles decided, we're not going to let Jimmy Graham or really Drew Brees spray it all over the place and beat us, and they were successful. The problem was the Saints did have a plan B. And that plan B was to run it more than they ran it all year long, even though their number one running back wasn't in the game.
And to have Mark Ingram be the guy that beat you at 97 yards and a touchdown, that's got to burn.
It does, but again, before the game, it's like, well, we're going to see if Mark Ingram can beat us. You know? I'd rather do that than just let Jimmy do what the Chiefs did and let T.Y. Hilton run wild.
Right.
You know, the Eagles shut down Jimmy Graham. They double covered him. They did everything they could do. But by doing that,
and it worked.
It worked, and they lost because of a kind of a backup player beat them more or less.
Right.
And
right.
What are you going to
do? You're all right with losing like that. Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, they went in with a plan. They stuck with it. It almost worked. You know, it wasn't like the plan was a disaster.
Right.
But
the plan didn't work from the begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that Eagles fans, if you were told that the Saints are going to score 26 points, you would take that, and you would take your chances that your team could score 27, you know?
Right.
They just weren't able to get it done. You know, the Eagles missed a field goal, and the Eagles made two mistakes in this game, and they came early enough in the game that you can't really point at them as the reason they lost.
Right.
At the very end of the first quarter, they drove it down to the 15-yard line. They threw a really weird – this is what I'm talking about, getting cute. They threw a weird tight end screen
Yep.
To Celek that lost 8 yards. You know, yep. You're down to the 15-yard line. What are you doing? You know, that's exactly what I'm talking about with the run with Randall Cobb of the Packers. You get that close, man. So they lost 8 yards on a pass play.
Yeah.
Then Nick Foles took a terrible sack, and suddenly they're at the 40-yard line, you know? And then LeSean McCoy ran it for 4 yards, and then they try a really long field goal, a 48-yarder, and they miss it. So they made that mistake. And then the other mistake was Riley Cooper dropping the pass on the critical third down. But even with that, Bill, the announcers were making that out to be like a 70-yard touchdown.
It wasn't going to be.
No, he was going to get big yardage. He was going to get 20, 25 yards. But it, you know, I think that people are looking for a reason that they lost, and that was a big play. But I believe didn't he drop it when they were still losing?
Yeah,
I think it was
20-7.
I think they're still losing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like that, you know. So other than that, you know, the Eagles offense took a while to warm up, Bill, but when they warmed up, I thought they played really well. And they just lost to a team that played a little bit better, you know. I don't think there's much more to read into than that.
All right. Eagles out for the year now. It was a good run for Chip Kelly in his first year. Well, what you make of the Chip Kelly experiment? Success?
Yes. Well, of course it's a success. Yeah. I mean, they were 4-12 last year. The thing that you got to look at is the Eagles did run into some very good fortune this year. They played Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
They played Dallas without Tony Romo. They played Minnesota without Adrian Peterson. Still lost.
Yep.
There was a couple other ones in there where they kind of got lucky with some personnel things. And on the other side, the Eagles were ridiculously healthy, which you never see. Their offensive line, I don't believe, missed any games, anybody.
That's
they were
important.
Completely intact, and that's why they were one of the best O-lines in the league at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So if you want to look at the glass half empty side of it is, man, are the Eagles going to get that kind of good fortune next year? Now they have to play a first-place schedule. You know, and you know how the schedules work. You look at them on paper, and it never plays out the way you think.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They got to play first place schedule. They're not going to likely play teams with second string quarterbacks the whole time. They're not likely to be as healthy as they were this year. So, you know, you can look at it both ways. But I think overall, you got to be excited for what Chip Kelly has to offer, and maybe they found a quarterback here in Nick Foles.
Well, I was just going to ask you about that, Nick Foles. Obviously, the Mike Vick career as Eagle starter is long gone. Is Nick Foles a guy that you would draft late in your fantasy league and have him as your starter?
Absolutely.
I think so too.
I think, but here's the caveat to that. I think any quarterback in the Chip Kelly offense that was a clear starter is a viable fantasy player. Anyone.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is a classic. I mean, he is a. Do you know when the NFL draft rolls around and we're trying to analyze quarterbacks, and you're it's kind of hard to analyze this guy because he played at Texas Tech, and they threw it 70 times a game. And such. He's a system quarterback, you know?
Right.
How's that going to translate to the NFL? Well, here, the system is in the NFL with Chip Kelly. I mean, his offense, Bill, the Eagles in his first year, they set franchise records for points, for yards. I mean, he crushed everything.
Yeah.
I think Nick Foles, obviously, he was pretty close to breaking Aaron Rodgers' passer rating.
Passer rating, yep.
Which is insane. He didn't play the full year. And I think Nick Foles is certainly the quarterback of the future, but I don't think he's the next big thing. I don't think he's even close to being a top five talent at the position. Do you know what I mean?
Only because if he was on another team, he wouldn't have as much success. But the team that he's on certainly helps him look as good as he does.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but hey, we're going to say it right now. Nick Foles, listen, don't call us next year and say I'm taking Peyton Manning in the first round. Don't call us next year and say you're using a second round pick on Drew Brees, because we will tell you every time, wait until the eighth round, and you can get Andrew Luck, you can get Nick Foles, you can get Matthew Stafford, all right? I'm just warning you now a year in advance. Next fantasy football draft season, no callers about Peyton Manning in the first round. I don't want to hear it.
You're going to hear
enough?
It.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to hear it. Especially after this year.
Exactly.
54 touchdowns, 55 touchdowns, 5,400 yards. Are you kidding me with that? That's all we're going to hear next year.
I know.
I'm going to have disclaimers throughout every single show. I'm going to pre-record. That's what I'm going to do, Todd. How funny would this be? I'm going to pre-record a disclaimer, and then anytime someone calls up and asks, Kevin's just going to hit the button, and he's going to play my disclaimer.
There you go.
Kev, can we do that? I mean, assuming that we're going to be back on.
Now you're just making assumptions.
I would think Fantasy Football Champs very successful show this year.
I think it's going to be Bill and Todd, but it's going to be Bill Polian and Todd DeVries.
Whoa, hey now. The show. He's Bill Polian, big fantasy guy.
Could be Bill and Bill.
Bill and Bill.
Two Bills, one
Bill
Todd.
Bill. B&B.
Two Bills, one Todd. No, Bill Polian does fantasy football in reality, drafting teams.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The result of the Eagles and the Saints game, the Saints advance after beating them. What was the final score in that one?
26-24. So let's look back at our picks. Bill, yeah. First of all, we didn't go with anything spread related. We leave
no
that
spreads.
To Kerry Byrne. Yeah,
straight
Kerry
up.
From Cold Hard. He does all that.
And oh,
he
went 3-1,
by the way.
Yeah, how about it? Kerry, dominant.
Yeah, 3-1. And we'll have him on Thursday to get his picks for the next week.
Yeah.
I went 1-3.
Not that good.
And the only one I got right was going up with your Superchargers, baby.
There you go. Follow the leader.
Now, again,
on
this
that one.
This wasn't spreads. If we had spreads involved, I think I might have been 2-2. But I had the Chiefs winning.
So
I had the Eagles winning. I had the Packers winning. And I had the Chargers winning.
So the only game that you and I had a difference was the 49ers.
Yeah. So we both picked the teams to win by a field goal. So we were right on it.
Right.
The score. You were 2017 Niners. I was 24-21.
Ooh, you were right there. Oh, wrong team.
Yeah.
Kevin, did you make picks for any of these? How were Kevin's picks?
I don't think I made them.
Yeah, we'll get your picks this week on Thursday for this week. Patriots, Bill. Telling you.
What? Tell me what?
I had to win in the Super Bowl back on August 1st.
Yeah, I know.
First show of the year.
Pat Seahawks.
And you said, oh, you're just saying that because we're on Patriots Radio.
Listen, the Pats are here, but, I mean, they are really bandaged together pretty much every aspect of every position on their team. Mm-hmm. Tight end, receiver, linebacker, offensive line, defensive back. The only consistent guy is Brady.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep, number 12.
Well, how's Tlaib? Is Tlaib healthy, Kev?
I think he's the healthiest he's been in probably a month and a half.
And what about Dennard?
I think he'll play. I think he's coming along. I mean, he's in the Tlaib boat. He's just been banged up for the last 6 weeks.
Right.
I think
you didn't want that bye.
Secondary good.
And you didn't want that bye.
No, I mean, I want it now.
We should
have
asked.
I don't have the choice.
We should have asked Polian to settle that debate, too.
Probably would have agreed with me.
God damn it. When am I going to get someone to agree with me on this friggin' show? I'm always on an island.
Mm-hmm.
They call it Enright Island.
They do call it Enright Island. A dark, dreary, and lonely place where no one visits.
Island of the Misfit Toys.
You can see Bill rocking in his nursing home rocking chair.
Yeah.
40 years from now.
40? I hope I'm not in nursing home for 40 years. Maybe 70.
Enright Island.
Let's go to the phone lines. Our good friend Olivier has been hanging on for a while. Olivier in Virginia. What's going on, my friend? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. What do you
doing
got for
well.
Us today?
Well, Bill, I have one thing and one thing to say to you only.
What is that?
San Diego
Superchargers. Oh, yeah, baby. You missed it earlier. I did my live rendition of the San Diego Superchargers song.
I'm so sorry. I didn't hear that. I didn't have the privilege.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good one.
Yeah, and I think that these guys, you know, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they keep on doing it because, you know, only you know, after three turnovers, I think they only got, 6 points, which is not very good. The other two teams that had the same opportunity basically lost. So do you see them as going to Denver and upset Payton, or do you think that this is it?
I don't know. We're going to make our predictions on Thursday.
What do you mean you don't know? You have the Chargers winning the whole thing. You have them hoisting the Lombardi Trophy in the snow in the Meadowlands.
That was a trap. Thank you very much, Todd. You were right. You know, I was hoping for him to come back to his senses, but I guess he doesn't believe in the Chargers anymore.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're going to have to tune into Thursday's show for my prediction.
That's a tease.
That's what we in the biz call a tease.
I understand. Very nice. I was just trying to figure it out, and I think that you're absolutely correct. They're going to go down there, and they're going to beat them.
I didn't say that yet.
And hopefully we will actually have an AFC championship perhaps in Boston, which would be great.
Well, listen, if the Broncos do lose, all you need to do is beat the Colts, and you will have that AFC championship in New England.
Exactly.
And this just in, Kevin got me...
through Foxborough to party with you guys.
Kevin got me tickets. Isn't that right, Kevin? Got me tickets to the AFC championship? Thanks, dude. I appreciate it.
No, no problem. Pleasure is mine.
No. I was thinking Kevin for getting me tickets. Olivia, are you getting me tickets?
Well, listen, this was a tease. I cannot predict anything before Thursday, but I will do that on Thursday.
Oh, jeez.
Nice one.
Thank you. Anyway, guys, I wanted to call and wish you a happy new year and all the best to you and your family.
Thank you, Olivia. We certainly appreciate it.
And I want to see you back next year, same time, same schedule.
Well, I'll see you for the AFC Championship when you're picking me up and driving me up to Foxborough.
Fantastic, yes. See you guys. Have a great day. Cheers.
Take care. Thank you. See, that, you know, that's the kind of caller I like, offering to bring me to the AFC Championship. Did you hear that one, Todd? Getting ticks.
I like how he threw the tease right back in your face.
I like how Kevin played the crickets noise when I asked him that he got his tickets.
Play that again. It sounded more like a lightsaber than a...
Lightsaber?
I don't know.
It's lightsaber's like...
That's true. I guess you're right.
Right? That's like a lightsaber. You were the chosen one.
Oh, God. So there you go, Bill. Bill, you know you've been dreaming of this. Philip Rivers, your bud.
Yeah,
right?
That's
you
my
and
boy.
Phil.
Yeah. What was that thing he was...
What?
What was that thing he was wearing in the post-game press conference? What is that called?
Oh, the tie?
Yeah, what is that called?
The cowboy tie?
Yeah, what is that, though? Yeah, there's the... A bolo tie. Yeah, see, I'm...
Whoa! The end. That kind of sounded like something the Chargers would do.
Those are the guns. Those are the guns that they shoot, and then they block them with the lightsaber.
Oh, I got it. Lightsaber, that's kind of, you know, it sounds kind of superchargery to me.
Yeah, it does. A bolo tie. Philip Rivers was wearing a bolo tie. Which, by the way, I don't know if you get Gentleman's Quarterly, GQ Magazine says the bolo tie will be in 2014. I can't see that being becoming a fashion statement.
Who decides that this stuff is fashionable?
I don't know, man.
Does some guy say, you know, like Zoolander? Remember, you've seen Zoolander? The movie?
Yeah.
It's like Hansel. Does he like go, this year I will make the bolo tie?
It's so hot right now.
Hansel.
I don't know how that works.
I just Googled Philip Rivers bolo tie.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
He wears them a lot. He's from Alabama.
Yeah.
That's what they do down there.
Well, he's from Alabama, playing in San Diego, and he's going to hoist, you're saying, Bill,
yeah,
he's going to hoist the Lombardi Trophy in the snow, in the sleet and the ice of the Meadowlands, in his bolo tie.
The weather prediction is not out for the forecast for the Super Bowl yet.
Well, let's hope it's not what it is now. What's the temperature in northern Jersey today?
It's 5 degrees.
What's the wind chill?
It's cold. Frigid is the wind chill.
Because here in Pennsylvania, the high was, when I woke up, it was -2, and
yeah,
the wind chill was -28 or something.
I have.
They closed the schools here, by the way.
That's so ridiculous.
Cold. Yeah. Well, Roger Goodell is undeterred, Bill. Damn it, Super Bowl in the Meadowlands, baby.
How do I look up wind chill on here?
I don't know.
Oh, feels like -12.
Yep. And you live how far from the stadium?
6 miles, 5 miles.
Seriously, what if the weather was like this on February 4th?
Oh, it'd be miserable. But you know what? It's weird because this weekend, this Saturday, it's supposed to be 53.
I saw that, yeah. Yeah.
Now, it's been raining lately. And usually when it's raining in January, that's a good indication that it may snow a little bit more in February. Because we're pretty consistent with the amount of snowfall we get. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, we may be looking to make up some inches here.
Yeah, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
Ah!
You guys are so funny. You and your bolo ties.
Well, that's a cue for Kevin to go and find some racy. Really,
yeah. Some naughty clip.
Got some good stuff with Fred, I'm sure. It can fit right into that one.
There you go. Doesn't it's only porn. It's like porn. You only know it when you see it.
Cleavage and camel toe.
Cleavage and camel toe? Fred, come on.
Cleavage and camel toe.
This is a children's show. Family oriented.
Who's the pussy now?
Whoa, hey now.
What?
Who's the pussy now?
That one always surprises me when we play that one.
Oh, you guys are pussies.
I feel like the FCC is going to knock on my door.
He's just yelling at you now.
Then I remember we're on internet radio.
It's like he's here just yelling at you, scolding
you. I know.
It sounds like he is right there.
I feel the wrath.
Yeah.
Is it part of the game, like shooting it into the right hole?
Kev, what was the big topic today on PFW?
Deion Branch.
Can that really be the main, like, well, come on, really?
And also, do you fear the Colts was a big one, too? Like, are people overlooking the Colts?
No.
Overlooking them?
See, this is where Bill has...
Yeah, thinking the Patriots are just going to roll.
Oh. This is where Bill has what?
Bill, if you think the Colts were so red hot in the second half of that game, then yeah, Patriots fans should fear the Colts. If they're capable in your world of playing the Chiefs, and you're saying the Chiefs played pretty well in the second half, but the Colts were so much better.
Yep.
Then if the Colts are that capable of doing something like that, then the Patriots should be worried.
Listen, you should be worried for any game. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. At the same time, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think the momentum of the comeback for the Colts will have a factor in what they do against the Patriots. And by the way, I did just see a pass interference call with the Eagles game. Remember, they threw it down to Deshaun Jackson inside the 5-yard line. It
was like yeah, but that was blatantly obvious.
Yeah, well, that was the only one that I was recalling.
Right, I got you. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about like the ones that they don't call on like third down.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see any of these. No, he got hugged on this play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does the Colts' momentum in the second half against the Chiefs have anything to do with
it? Doesn't
the intimidation fact? Not the intimidation.
It has nothing to do with it because half of it had to do with the Chiefs sucking.
I just
see.
Right, I guess.
Yeah. I'm looking. What are the lines out yet for the games?
Yeah. What do you want to know?
I got them. Well, are you surprised by here's the lines I'm seeing for the Patriots. 7 or 7.5 favorite. Yeah, what you're seeing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seattle, 7.5 or 8.
I'm seeing 8. Niners, -2. Panthers are +2 at home. Wow.
Yeah. That's and what's nuts. What's the final game?
Chargers, -10.
Really?
Yeah.
+10.
+350 on the money line.
That's pretty surprising to me.
Yeah? Broncos at home off a bye?
10.
And they're the number one seed.
I thought it'd be more like 7.5.
Same as the Saints and the Seahawks, same as the Colts and the Pats? Yeah, I guess so. That'll come down by Thursday. I'd be very interested to see where that comes down. How about the Colts and the Chiefs line, like, jumped full 2 points?
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah, that was nuts. Florida State line last night jumped big time, too.
Yeah. Should have just used the points. Got a little greedy.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hindsight.
Over-unders here. Saints, Seahawks. The over-under is 46.5.
I'll go under.
Colts, Patriots, 53.
I think that's right on the money. I don't want to do my prediction yet, and in order to figure out if it's going to go over or under, I'd have to.
Right, we'll do all that on Thursday.
All right,
I'm just kind of throwing them out there because this is the first time I'm looking at them.
Yeah,
Panthers Niners over under is 42.
That's low.
Mm-hmm. And then the Broncos Chargers 55.
I mean, I think that should be higher. If they're if the Colts and the Pats are 53, don't you think the Chargers and the Broncos should be a little bit more than 50? What'd you say, 55? I'm seeing 54.
Well, 55, 54.
Yeah.
First two times they played, let's see, 48 mm-hmm. and 47.
Oh, wow. Okay.
First time they played, Denver won 28-20. Second time, the Chargers won 27-20.
Wow.
I'm telling you, man, the Chargers, they can win a number of different ways. And one of the ways is they slow down the game. And they do it effectively, though.
Right. They're good at it.
They are. They did it against the Colts in that 19-9 win. I think the Colts were undefeated at the time, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
5-0 early in the season.
Yes, I believe so.
I just remember watching that game. The Colts were 4-1, my bad. But I remember watching that game, having Andrew Luck playing in fantasy.
Right.
And just being so frustrated because Andrew Luck was on the bench the whole game.
Wasn't getting the ball. Wasn't
Couldn't
getting the opportunity.
Get on the field.
Right.
And that opened my eyes a little bit. Plus, the Chargers earlier in the year had beaten the Eagles 33-30 in a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
They can win a lot of different ways. Go.
What is that?
Go Chargers, go!
Who's that, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That's Arnold.
Oh, jeez.
Go Chargers, go!
What is that for?
Get to the chopper!
That was like a pregame speech he did on the field at Qualcomm.
Wow.
That was like Qualcomm Stadium. Go Chargers!
Wow.
It was three words, riveting.
Chopper. Governor.
Go Chargers, go!
Was that back when he was governor?
That was.
He wasn't going to go to Oakland. Wasn't going to the black hole. Didn't want those votes. San Diego votes? Yeah, sign me up for that.
Wow. See, you got Arnold.
The Chargers. Wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger in the booth on Monday Night Football when, I think it was Jets-Dolphins. He's like, the Jets were like, I forget who was winning. But they were down like 20 points on Monday Night Football. And he's like, yeah, they're going to win this game. And now Michael's like, yeah, that's like going to be like a 25-point comeback or something like that. He's like, yeah, they're going to win. And they end up winning. It wasn't Al Michaels at the time. It was someone else. Who used to do Monday Night Football? Maybe it was Al Michaels. Al Michaels used to do Monday Night Football. Now he's on Sunday night, so it could have been him.
I don't know.
I forget who that was. I'm trying to look it up real quick.
I don't know. There's all sorts of stuff that comes up when you Google Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Run! Go! Get to the chopper!
Get to the chopper!
By the way, I saw the original Terminator over the holidays.
So good.
It's so good, but dude, there's parts of it that are insanely outdated.
Yeah, I mean, Todd, come on. That movie was like made in 1988.
No, earlier than that, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was the Jets and the Dolphins, and the Jets scored 30 points in the fourth quarter. Sent the game into overtime, and they won 40-37. And when Schwarzenegger came on,
Jets were down big.
Jets were down, yeah, 30.
And he's like, oh, they're going to come back.
Yeah, they're going to come back.
What year was that game?
2000.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Terminator 1984. Some of the music.
1984.
Yeah. Some of the music in that, though. I'm just saying, I hadn't watched it in a long time. I hadn't seen it in a while. The music, it was so remarkably, and the special effects, everything was just so different. So dated. Still a great movie, though.
You know, all those Terminator movies, they're great, and no matter how many times I see them, I'm still crazy confused when I'm watching them. Like, you know, everything with time travel just confuses the crap out of me every time I... Any kind of movie that involves time travel, I'm like, well,
Time travel and geography.
And geography, yeah. Those are the two... Those are my... And
Kevin,
math.
Kevin.
And math.
What is confusing? What the hell is confusing about the Terminator? Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, he comes back to save John... He comes back to kill John Connor... The second one, he's reprogrammed in the future to save him, so he comes back again to save him from the other guy that's programmed to kill John Connor. And then in the third one, it's like that company, what is it, Skytech or whatever, they're coming out with these new robots, and he has to reprogram them in the future to go back in the past. And then the fourth one, he's in the past again to go into the future with, like, his kid. It's nuts, man. It's crazy.
And now, go Chargers, go!
There you go.
That was even better.
Yeah, that was, and yeah, he said, "Here we go" on that one.
Hit that one again. I like that one. The second "go" is what gets you.
And now, go Chargers, go!
Have you ever seen that maid that he had that kid with?
What?
He had that kid with the maid. He's married to,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who's he married to? Maria Shriver?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then who is the maid? Have you ever seen her?
Venezuela?
Oh, she is gruesome.
So what are you saying, the kid or the maid?
The maid.
Okay.
Like, Maria Shriver's hot. The maid is gross. Oh, she is brutal. Terrible. What was he thinking? Google picture right now, Arnold Schwarzenegger maid. I don't know what that was. What was that sound clip, Kev? What the heck was that? What were you expecting to play there?
Happy Valentine's Day 1.
And to you, mi amor.
When I freshen up first. Okay. See. Oh, yeah.
What is that from?
That was perfect.
What is that?
That's Consuela from Family Guy getting it on.
Oh, Family Guy.
Oh, man. Oh, what was the other thing you played with, like the car?
Yeah, that was the start of it.
Yeah, I during all of that, I had a chance to Google Arnold Schwarzenegger maid.
Terrible.
Well, I'm watching Arnold get it on. You can just picture him say, "Go Chargers, go." Like in the middle of intercourse with his maid.
Oh, God.
It's just, you look at Maria Shriver and she's like a...
Yeah, she's a Kennedy, I think.
She is a Kennedy, sure. Very good actress, too. Famous actress.
I'm with you. She's
part of the Kennedy clan. She's hot. And then you go with this maid who...
Well, that's like Tiger, who, you know, with the Perkins waitresses.
But then you have a kid with him, with her. Like, that's
mistakes
even worse.
Happen.
I guess.
Sometimes it's a break in the dam.
Break in the dam.
Sometimes the water runs through. Mm. It happens.
Man, this show's gone south.
From Bill Polian to Arnold Schwarzenegger made. That's the kind of content.
While you're doing it, I'm not talking about the length of it. I'm talking about around the edges.
That's the kind of content you get here on Football Nation.
How many clips do you have of Fred?
I probably have about 100.
100?
Yeah, I'd say I got about 100.
Do you just stalk him and just, like, clip everything he says?
No, why don't you clip anything Todd says?
Fred is, like, the definition of entertainment. Do you know he can sing?
What?
Want to hear Fred Zeppelin?
Oh, go make you sweat! Go make you cool!
I like that Fred Zeppelin.
You gotta start clipping. You gotta start clipping Todd. He said some crazy stuff. Talking
Todd
about
doesn't sign my paychecks though.
Not yet.
Hopefully one day, Todd.
Todd, you taking over the Pats?
He wants to hire me as his maid.
See the picture I just sent you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Arnold and his maid. All right, play the Go Chargers thing one more time. You got to play it.
Hang on, jeez. Oh.
And now, Go Chargers, go.
Go. Go.
You better get all those Chargers clips ready for Bill. Because
can't wait.
I hope
can't
they win.
Wait. Can't wait. You don't have that?
Can't wait.
Yeah. Can't wait. Bart.
F***ing soldier.
Nah. I don't like that one.
Winslow.
They watched the Super Bowl from the same place I watched the Super Bowl from. Your couch.
Who's that, Ray Lewis?
That's Ray Ray.
Yeah. Yo, couch.
What else do we got here, bud?
That's it. I mean, we're done. I'm just trying to fill time here with all these sound clips. So entertaining. I don't want to say goodbye.
It's that time of year, huh?
I mean, this is playoff time, Todd. Everything matters.
So well, this typically is 2 hours of fantasy.
You got to get it all in. Talk.
Yeah.
It is, usually. No
Tuesday show is usually, yeah, it's usually 2 hours of fantasy talk.
Right.
So instead, it's an hour and 50 minutes of football talk and 10 minutes of sound bites from Fred.
Right.
And Arnold.
And Bill Polian.
Yes.
Mixed in with some Bill Polian.
We should have invited Bill Polian for this portion of the show. What in tarnation?
Tarnation? Does Bill Polian strike you as a guy that says tarnation? The answer to that question is no.
No.
All right. No.
Wrap it up.
Football Nation, Thursday, Patriots.com radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are live, and of course, you can always download us on the podcast. Find the Patriots on iTunes. Download the Patriots mobile app for all the podcasts and radio shows that they put together here on this great channel. Any finishing words or closing thoughts, Todd?
I'm just going to leave that to Kevin, because I'm sure he has another clip to play to take us out.
Go Chargers, go!
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday.
Happy Valentine's Day, what?
And now, go Chargers, go!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.